Mrs. Rumney, renumbered reel 14.
We were on the top of the cliff. We look over. We couldn't bathe in it, you see. That was a pity. We couldn't storm round the cliff or go round and in this lovely sea, because the sea was very dirty and the fish was thrown in and... Oh, no. No.
How was the water heated for your bathing?
Oh, I have no idea.
Was it hot water or was it only cold?
Well, I don't know. I think it must have been cold because I never got in.
And what about toilets?
I'm coming to that. I was finished with what King Alexander, these men, these old, old men, Serbians. I learned that a Serbian, it had to be IC at the end, you see, H. So I knew exactly when I was talking to a Serb or not to a Serb. And if anybody got into this field, they never would have went straight to them. They'd been trained to go along the ground like this and then come up in front of them with a rifle.
To crawl along the ground.
Yes, always crawled, yes. So, of course, the Greeks stopped away. Macedonians, not Greeks, Macedonians. I was in, actually, Macedonia of the Bible, you see. Old, the king, you know, the Paul. I think it was Paul. And anyway, these men, if it snowed, all for at night, they never moved. So in the morning, I got them to teach me some words. I was very dobra dan meant good morning. Dobra dan schwester means schwester, sister. And I'd say dobra dan. And then a very dobra, very good. And I give them a cigarette, and smoke we do. I got so wrapped up in these wonderful men that made it, as I went straight to Salonika. The very first... When it opened after the war, I was one of the first to go. Now, the toilets were terrible. The toilets were exactly level with the baths. Now, in the morning, there's a great big oxen. I don't think I've got rid of the photograph. With eyes like mother of pearl and great huge horns, drew one of these things to put the stuff in. Well, one day, Nurse Collis, Sister Collis, was sitting, dreaming, on the piece of wood that was over the tin, when the whole of the back came off, and the two oxen had arrived to empty the tin. I always remembered, so I used to look very carefully, see where they got after that. That was just what you got, you see. Well, but a bit awkward, if you wanted to go in the night, you had to cross a field. Oh, yes, you had. See what I mean? And before these soldiers came there, you really were frightened to death of going off to the lavatory in the middle of the night.
Did you have your own torch?
Own what? Torch? You've got to have your own torch, yes. You got your own, you took a torch with you. I always take a torch now to London. Anywhere I go, I take a torch. Always. Oh, I always take a torch. Oh, yes. Well, I don't know. I don't know. I suppose they put them in the tins. I don't know. And of course it was our health. I mean, it didn't do our health any good, the lack of vitamins, the lack of all that. Because my boyfriend, he did help with the things that the birds he shot and his staff. You can get things, of course, you know. You get them in the town as well. But, very difficult. Sometimes you didn't have your stockings off for a long time. Oh, it was very difficult. I didn't mind. Oh, not a bit. Then we had a Salonika reunion every year. I used to go to the war, march the horse guards and put our wreath, and then go to Maison Lyons downstairs and have a lovely, we had the lunch, but a lovely chat and sing song and everything. Yes, I never used to miss that. And all met together. It was rather fun, the Salonika reunion. So really, it was, now you've mentioned it, of course, there was a certain amount of hardship. But we never thought anything of it. But the men did. You see, it was very different for them. I mean, one could feel very sorry for them. I mean, year after year, there must have been 3 years, some of them. I mean, really, it was. I don't suppose they could get a drink or some. Half the time, if the ships went down, they wouldn't get a smoke.
Were your patients allowed to wander about for a bit of
exercise? Oh, never. My word, they were never allowed to wander about. They weren't allowed to get outside the tent. Oh, no.
Were they too ill to go out? Or was it just against...
Well, they were all cot cases, practically. And if they weren't, they'd got to go to bed. Oh, it's all, there's no walking about. And I'd go around the lines twice a day, and when I'd had a spoonful of the brandy to keep me going in the heat, which was like burning fire. Oh, and we'd nothing like cream to put on our faces. You used to look a fine sight sometimes. Those of ones who weren't good looking really looked their worst, I'm telling you. Now, you see, Saronica was. You don't meet many who were there now. Most of them are dead, of course. But, I love beauty, you see. I love the scenery. And I'd had a rather strict upbringing. And the freedom, really, freedom, mind you, they'd say you weren't having any freedom. Well, it was freedom to me.
Hmm. So you came back to England actually before the armistice?
Yes. Oh,
where
I did.
Where were you then when armistice was declared?
Having double pneumonia. In bed at home. Bad luck again, yes.
Was there any sort of celebration where you were?
No. No, I got back home and I'd asked to get home. Well, General Rawnsley, who of course was slightly free, you see. We want to go home. Where's the matron in chief? Just get the matron in chief. It's Sister Collis. She's due for leave, a month's leave. She must have it. She's not well. And then he said, and you'll manage it to the other end, see? Quite simple. But when I got home, you see, I went to my own home.
Did the other nurses resent the fact that you were able to...
Not the slightest. I don't think they knew. No. Now, if my friends had wanted to go, I might have got them too. Now, General Rawnsley also, now I come to think of it, before the war had gone to a very nice hotel by the Lindo, and he'd met my people socially. Yes. A mother had written out and said, if you meet that general, it just was the one. She said, I remember your parents quite well. So you used to take me drives and sing, you are the only girl, if you were the only girl in the world. Yes, that's it. And the car used to go wrong, but no matter, you see. So he got me home. So while I was at home, I got a call to go to Vincent Square, Westminster. And there was there a hospital for six sisters. The army. And that's where I went. I was on night duty. See? The Asian flu was just about to unleash this terrible plague from beyond. It was doing that for its own reasons. And in Stoke-on-Trent, all the rich people who made the China, who'd kept their eldest son and the others at home. The angel of the Lord went over and slew those that didn't go to the war. That is a fact. And I got the germ in London. I was in this place. I remember the first night I went to sleep on the couch. I lay on the couch, I was tired. I'd been running around the town, you see, with somebody off the hospital, our hospital ship, Wandilla. They were in London, the officer. I was tired, and I just lay back so I went straight off to sleep. And I thought it was 1 o'clock when I went off to sleep, when the sister came in. She wasn't cross. She said, you're asleep, I think. Yes, oh dear, I was. Now, when did you go to sleep? So I gave myself perhaps an hour. I said, 2 o'clock. Really? Well, she's only 1:30 now. Well, before I'd finished on that lark, I had found out a means of having a nap, because I got into the lift that took the food down and closed the lift.
But weren't you afraid someone else would come into the lift?
Oh, not in the middle of the night, you see. At 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock. No, just a wooden thing, you know, old-fashioned. Wood, okay. And the matron who had been so severe with me over there when I got first to Colchester arrived because she'd fallen on her head in Italy out of the ambulance. And when I went into the room to her, she said, "Why, my little VAD, how nice to see you." I thought, what a change. Well, you know, they had to be very disciplined, you see. Oh, well, I nursed. I did things for her. And I felt this flu coming on me, an Asian flu. And I wrote to my mother, and I said, "Dear mother, will you send a telegram?" Like I told you, didn't I? "And will you send a telegram that you are seriously ill? I must leave here." I'd seen them, you know, with that stupid idea that if you had pneumonia, they put you out in the fresh air. Well, they weren't going to do that to me, because I thought it wasn't quite my line of pneumonia. And I never had pneumonia. We were healthy, but look at the... It had been taking it out of me with that terrible climate 1 year of it and a year in it on the sea. And so my father, who was a lawyer, you see, mother said, "Frank, what do you think I'd better do?" He said, "Well, Mary, of course, you're going against the law if you do it. But that's it," and went to his office. So mother sent the telegram. So the matron, who was a charming woman, rang the bell and said, "Will you send Sister Collis down?" I said, "Oh," she said, "there's a telegram for you." "Oh, yes." She said, "It isn't true, is it?" I said, "No." I said, "I'd be very sorry to lose you, you know. I thought I'd have to let you go." I said, "Yes, I'm going to leave the army." Well, they gave us a bonus of money, but she said, she knew I wasn't worrying about the money. Lose the money. I said, "Yes, I'm going." I got my eye on the Navy, you see. So I joined the Navy. So she said, "I'll have to let you go." I got home. Within 2 days, mother had a fire in my bedroom. The housemaid was taking up coal. And the best doctor in the place was there, and I had double pneumonia. Double. Bad. And it was the first antiphlogiston I had. And everybody was shouting and rejoicing. Streets of London and Salonika. I was in bed. Father and I were very close. He wasn't allowed in my bedroom, it was a very nasty germ. So when a little pudding was sent up with a parlour maid, my father just called her and put the flags of the Allies on my pudding, and that was all I got. Yes, that was it. So I got out of the army.
So did you in fact join the Navy?
Yeah, I did. Yes.
As a sister or as a
regiment? Oh no, as a naval officer. Oh no, I had enough of nursing. Now, what time is it, sweetie, because of the lunch?
When did you decide to be a naval officer?
Before I came out of the army, while I came home from Salonika, I decided on my way home from having been in Salonika, you know, with all that I would like to be in the senior service in the Navy. That I would like the uniform and I would like to be in it. And everybody who was anybody, they were all in the Navy there, the World War I. So I wrote and asked the sister of Arnold Bennett. Now that was quite enough, wasn't it? She said, she wrote me and said, "Dear child, I've told them that you're an angel. When am I going to see you?" She said, "I still have the letter." She's dead. Then Canon Tirrett, who was the canon of Windsor, St. George's Chapel, he was the other one to say who I was. But you see, they couldn't turn down either of those two. That was impossible. because, of course, Baroness Berners was the father of Colonel Tyrwhitt, who married me in all his scarlet robes in St. James's, Piccadilly. And the Knowles family at court, sister, they couldn't. So Dame Kathleen Furze, more of them, and just by Chesterfield House they had the offices. I was asked to go.